Michael Irvin, good enough to join us talking about the playoffs, which are finally here, Michael. We got some New Year's Day bowl games. That means the playoffs can't be far away, and here it comes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too, man. And what a great, just a great motivational, inspirational weekend this will be when you look at especially the games, all the games that are being played Saturday. The Colts, the Texans, Cowboys, Seahawks. Because if I take you back to week three, none of these teams look like they were going to the playoffs. Not a one. The Texans were 0-3. The Colts started 1-5. You know what the Cowboys and the Seahawks look like? None of them look like they would be in this position, and they are. So let that be a message to everybody. It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
No doubt about it. And it really is something else. I think it speaks to how wide open this field is and how fun this go-around should be. And we'll obviously hop into a few of these games. But first, Michael, we got to hop into rumors, because rumors and draft picks mean more than actual playoff games out here in the Bay Area. You know that. It was a weird year out here. So let's start with the biggest offseason rumor that's got the entire Bay Area buzzing. Antonio Brown possibly being traded to the Niners. Should it happen? Let's just start with that. How would Antonio Brown fit into Kyle Shanahan's system?
Oh, my God. I'm talking about, that would be insane to put Antonio Brown with Jimmy G and have Kyle Shanahan lining him up and fixing him, giving him the ball. Let's remember now, the best year Julio Jones had was with Kyle Shanahan running things. They just got rid of the guy down there because he didn't know how to get Julio Jones the ball in the end zone. It's not an issue that Kyle Shanahan had with him. And that's the issue that guy had. Everything he was going to do was going to be measured by what Kyle Shanahan accomplished with that group. It would be incredible. It would be incredible. Now, certainly for Antonio Brown, that whole situation, man, what a bad situation that is. But sometimes when things get going bad like that, you need a fresh start, and that would be an incredible fresh start for him.
Michael, why do you think so much sideways talent has reared its head in Pittsburgh? I mean, their best wide receiver, their best running back seem to both have issues with the quarterback, and Mike Tomlin, you know, he does a really good job trying to put a bow on everything, but it's been a really weird year for the Steelers.
Yeah, but we say it that way. We'll give it to the best wide receiver and the best running back. But even prior to that, the coach was having issues with Ben Roethlisberger. That is why the coach is no longer in San Francisco. Todd Haley and all those Ben Roethlisberger wanted to run the show, and now he is obviously running the show. And obviously there's some problems. They're having problems with that. These guys have played hard and have put their bodies on the line, and I guess they don't like the way that thing has played out. And that's why I always tell people, and I always tell teams, be careful how you treat guys that are produced, because it's going to reverberate through your locker room. So you got to be very careful how you treat those guys. And I thought all of this Pittsburgh slip when they treated Le'Veon Bell the way they treated him, and then not decided to say, because all he wanted was them to tell him that you're not going to franchise tag me again this year, and I would have come in. And they could franchise tag him. All they had to do was say it. They were not going to do it anyway. They took their word over the game, and that's what happens. And it begins to bring a fallout through your locker room. I'm telling you, you have to be careful when you're making those kinds of decisions, because it brings that kind of problem.
The playmaker, Michael Irvin, here on 95.7 The Game. So there's also talk about maybe the Giants moving on from Odell Beckham Jr. I just don't see that happening, especially if you're going to be drafting quarterback. How could you not want to saddle a young quarterback with one of the best receivers and one of the best running backs in the game? Those are two pretty good safety blankets. I don't think he's on the move. I saw a list where I think the sixth highest paid quarterbacks aren't in the playoffs. We've obviously got, you know, Odell Beckham nowhere near the playoffs this year, but DeAndre Hopkins is. And we talk about wide receivers with you all year, and I don't think we've talked about DeAndre Hopkins, who's a guy who's not even had a single drop this year, Michael. I don't know who the best receiver is, but I think I know who the least appreciated best receiver is, and it's DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, and I'll second that. I'll second that. He is one of the most talented guys in this league. I mean, just phenomenal. I find that phenomenal too, that he hasn't had any drops and that he's just tearing it up, and he makes play after play after play, and he's losing. You know, he's lost his partner on the other side, Demaryius Thomas now, and Will Fuller earlier. You know, so he's losing the other guys, but his production doesn't drop. That's what makes him so phenomenal. I'm expecting to see him and Deshaun Watson for years, tear up this league. And we should mention also what a nice gesture and a nice thing he did, DeAndre Hopkins, in donating to that family with the slain, with the girl that got killed. I mean, that's just a beautiful thing, and it speaks to the kind of guy he is and the heart that he has to donate his whole game check. That stuff like that makes you pull for him even more.
No doubt about it. He seems like a real good guy, man. He's representing himself and his family and the Texans very, very well. Texans, Colts, very interesting. Seahawks, Cowboys, Michael. I mean, I know there's one game on your mind more than any other game, and it's your Cowboys. Russell Wilson, that guy's officially hard to slow down. You might have the defense to do it. You got a running game in Dallas that's tough to slow down. How do you handicap Seahawks, Cowboys?
That's what you have to do. You have to try to handicap, if I can steal that word from it, Russell Wilson, and not allow them to run the football like they've been running the football so well, and say, Russell, beat us by yourself. You're not going to stop Russell Wilson. You're not going to stop him. So what you can't do is give him more help. And Dallas has to stop that running game so then put the pressure on Russell Wilson to make plays over and over again. Now, trust me, this game is going to come down to the wire because Russell Wilson doesn't lose big games. He doesn't lose games by a lot of points. You're going to have to beat him late in that game or prevent him from beating you late in the game. But Dak Prescott can do that. Dak Prescott has more game-winning drives, 14, in his first 3 years than any player in the history of the NFL in his first 3 years. And that will be put to the test Saturday.
Come Sunday, we got Chargers at the Ravens, Eagles, and Bears. We got some really good matchups here in playoff week one for the NFL. Michael Irvin, our guest, the Hall of Famer from NFL Network. It's good to have you on here, obviously. The 49ers, they wrap up a disappointing year. They got the second pick in the draft to show for it, and I guess that means a brighter future is coming soon. When I go back and look at what worked this year, well, here's what worked this year. Kyle Shanahan can call a game. He can also coach him up, and we got Nick Mullins to prove that. George Kittle is an absolute star. I think Breida is on the verge of being a star in the backfield. Could be a great 1-2 punch with a healthy Jet McKinnon if that's what it's going to look like next year. Dante Pettis, pretty good rookie wide receiver.
Right. Right.
They got a bona fide tackle now in Mike McGlinchey. Is the future going to be bright quickly? I mean, do you expect Jimmy G to come back next year, Michael, with this cast and be looking at a winning record, period? I mean, like, it feels like one of these upcoming seasons officially has to start counting. No more excuses, wins and losses.
Right. And here again, like I told you last time we talked, you left out a great thing. You got a great asset in Nick Mullins. What do you do with that great asset? Yeah, as you're talking about, going to try to get more help. Will the Giants take a draft pick and Nick Mullins and send you Odell Beckham, stuff like that? You know, man, you got to start thinking that way too, opening this thing up. You know what I mean? Because Pittsburgh's not trading for a quarterback. They're not giving up AB for a quarterback. They're going to want assets and everything. But, boy, how could I fit Nick Mullins in there? Because Nick's going to want a shot at one day taking over a football team. And Jimmy G's too young for him to stay there and just sit as a backup, because I think he has starters' ability. He has starters' talent. He is not just a backup. He has starters' ability. So sooner or later, he's going to want that opportunity to play. So what do you do with that asset? But, yeah, absolutely. I believe it is time for this team to take the next step starting next year. But he is going to be the kicker now. That NFC West, that's going to be a tough division. You know what I mean? So all these assets you guys have, you're going to need it because that's a tough division with the Rams right there. Of course, Seahawks, they always play tough. And that's going to be a good division to watch for a while.
Michael, you know, we got the number two pick in the draft. Hopefully a healthy Jimmy G ACL coming back here, and that'll start a turnaround. Meanwhile, the Raiders turnaround, I don't know if it begins with Mike Mayock. How much did you work with him at NFL Network, and what can you tell me about Mike Mayock?
I work with Mike Mayock all the time now. He's a good man. He's a good man. And no one knows talent as well as Mike Mayock knows talent. You know, and it's a good thing. I thought about it when he got the job. You know, one of the things I thought about, I said, wow, this is great. This is a great opportunity for Mike Mayock. And Mike Mayock's a great evaluator of talent. Now, the one thing I always joked with him and talked with him about is understanding talent is only half of the equation. Understanding the spirit, the attitude, the personality of people so you can put a team together that knows how to fight together is another thing. And we talked about that a lot. So I'm sure he understands that. So I'm anxious to see what happens with him and working with John Gruden over there and being a GM. And I know he wanted this opportunity.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it turns out for sure. Michael, I don't want to make you feel old. You're so nice to join us here in the playoffs, but I'm going to make you feel old, and I'm going to do that right now. Today is the 20-year anniversary of The Catch Part 2. T.O., Steve Young to Terrell Owens to beat the Packers at Candlestick, January 3rd, 1999. Time flies, doesn't it?
That was January 3rd, 1999. That was my last year in the NFL.
Wow.
1999, man. That's amazing. How time The Catch Part 2. I was vexed by The Catch Part 1 for years because, you know, of course, that happened against my Dallas Cowboys, and that's all we talk about is getting them back and getting back on top. And I remember that play. What a beautiful play that was, having T.O. crying and Muy Bariucci on the sideline. I joke with him about it all the time. But, wow, what a play.
It was absolutely a great moment at Candlestick, great moment for the Niners, and it's always great when we get to talk to you, Michael. Enjoy the playoffs this weekend. Thank you for spending some time with us, as always, and best to you here in 2019.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it, buddy. God bless you guys.